the Lighthouse family and Happy for Dawn, and Shanice there with I Love Your Smile for Sue. Hi to Pam again, who enjoyed Donald Fagan IGY. She said, you're probably aware, but I see there's a series of programmes coming on BBC Radio to celebrate David Bowie's life 5 years after his passing. That's on Sunday. Now, the first one on Sunday nights, presented by the great Stuart McConey. Probably too late for those with an early start for work. You can listen again on BBC Sounds. Didn't think we were allowed to listen to that anymore now that we're out of the EU. Smart DNS. I didn't say that. Two suspected burglars have been arrested after accidentally calling the police themselves. Staffordshire police confirmed they arrested a 49-year-old and a 42-year-old after receiving a call from one of them who appeared to have unwittingly sat on his phone. Officers said they listened in to the call as the men carried out a burglary and could even hear their colleagues arrive to make the arrests. I think we've just arrested the world's unluckiest burglars, said Chief Inspector John Owen. Police said they arrested the two men in the Middleport area of Stoke-on-Trent on suspicion of burglary after receiving the suspicious call. Poking fun at the unlucky pair, Owen included an image of Marv, the hapless burglar from the Home Alone film series, in a Twitter post. Whilst committing a burglary, one of the bungling burglars accidentally sat on his phone and dialed 999. And we receive a call detailing all of their antics up to the point of hearing our patrols arrive to arrest them. I've never understood how that works.
What, pocket dial?
Yeah, I mean, which number does it choose to randomly call?
Normally the last one, isn't it? What? I don't know why they would have had 999 as their last phone call, but it's normally, if it happens, pocket call. My dad's very good at it.
Is he?
Yeah, he's become quite an expert at it.
Yeah. But I mean, if the phone is shut and switched off, it can't dial anything because it goes into lock mode, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but it can be a matter of seconds. Damage can be done in a matter of seconds. Mm. It's never happened to you then?
No.
Okay.
No. Verdict for the pop quiz so far this week: could do better.
The year 1995 in the UK. It was when pubs were permitted to remain open throughout Sunday afternoon for the first time. The spy James Bond returned to UK cinemas 6 years after the last film was made for the 17th film GoldenEye, with Irish actor Pierce Brosnan playing the part of Bond. 1% of the UK population, that's some 600,000 people, had internet access. And Eric Cantona, the French international forward, assaulted a spectator after being sent off while playing for Manchester United against Crystal Palace in the FA Premier League.
When the seagulls follow the troller.
Cantona, wasn't it? Anyway, question number one. Which E17 song was at number one on this day in 1995?
Stay Another Day.
Correct.
Question. He kissed me once, Eric Cantona.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a lucky one. Why? What did you do to deserve that?
I was comparing a beach soccer tournament in Monaco.
Okay,
and he was playing for France and they were playing Portugal in the final and they won. And he ran up and gave me a great big sloppy kiss.
He didn't wash for weeks. Question number two. Who was awarded Best British Male Solo Artist in 1995 at the Brit Awards? And no, he didn't used to be a milkman, as I once thought, but
Robbie
a teacher.
Williams. Oh, Sting.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah, 1995. It was his father that was a milkman. That's where I got my wife.
He's quite a clever bloke, Sting, actually.
Still is.
The tantric sex, that's what does it.
Finally, this is also the year which saw Britpop at its most popular. A highly publicised chart battle in August saw Oasis and Blur battling it out for the number one position, having both released their singles on the same day. Blur won the singles battle with which song?
Country House.
Beating which Oasis song?
Wrong With It.
Correct. Well done. Things are looking up.
Because I remember walking into the HMV in Croydon and they had sort of all, you know, like rival sort of stands, Blur versus Oasis, and they were sort of registering the counts of who'd bought what. I think Country House was the better song, if I may say so. Roll With It was not one of Oasis's best, is it?
No, I like Roll With It.
Do you?
No, it can't beat Whatever. I think Whatever's the best.
You'll roll with anything, won't
you?
Yeah,
always.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Friday's amongst us best day of the week. I'll get that in the first time for 2021.
Yeah, you are the first one. It doesn't feel the same in the COVID world, though, does it? It's not like the weekend suddenly opens up a broad range of opportunities for you to go and enjoy yourself. It's sort of much of a muchness, as we said.
Well, we're not on lockdown, so we still have a bit of sort of Fridays amongst us here.
Oh, OK. Well, as long as you're happy, that's the main thing.
I mean, you can't go out for a drink or a meal or anything, but at least you can go outside and jump around.
Okay. Do you often go outside and jump around?
Always.
Oh, that's nice. I'm sure the neighbours appreciate that.
Well, when I'm outside, they don't care. If I jump around inside, they're a bit more worried. But
I can imagine.
Okay, markets brushed aside Wednesday's shocking scenes of the Capitol building. US markets closing at record highs.
Yeah, exactly right. Equities remained positive yesterday. Investors refused to be unnerved by the surge in coronavirus figures, the disturbing protests in the US Capitol, or even weakening momentum in the US labor market, preferring to focus on expectations a blue wave will lead to an expansion of the stimulus package, re-establish corporate credit, Main Street and municipal lending facilities, and the vaccine rollout will lead to a rebound in economic activity. The S&P 500 is up 1.5%. NASDAQ, strong performance, good bounce back there, up 2.5%. Should set us up for a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling a FTSE up 33 points. DAX over in Frankfurt, 108 points. CAC 40 in Paris, up 39 points.
The blue wave sounds like a hairdo, doesn't it, really?
1970s ladies' hairdo.
Like a blue rinse.
Yes.
Is that still popular?
Not that I'm aware of, but it's not a group I tend to mix with too often.
Right, now have you been asked to look after the nuclear football for the next 10 days?
I haven't, to be honest with you, but it's an interesting turnaround coming through from President Trump, isn't it? If you look at the tone of the latest video, it's in stark contrast to what we're seeing the day before. The reason for that? Well, perhaps a change of mind, or perhaps fearing that 25th Amendment could have come into play, which clearly would have been a stain on his record. So, listen, I think we will transfer, we'll see the transfer of power in some sort of fashion take place in a less dramatic fashion than was probably perceived a couple of days ago.
I would suggest to you that it's more in keeping with his desire not to be kicked off Twitter.
The most important thing, rather than the integrity of the presidency, you mean?
Yeah, a few wags were tweeting yesterday saying he's been kicked off Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, but he's still allowed to be in control of the nuclear football.
Yes, I like it.
All right, so let's move to this side of the pond. Eurozone inflation slipping into negative territory.
Yeah, Eurozone inflation remained in negative territory in December, came at minus 0.3%. Core inflation held steady at a record low of 0.2%. Downward pressure from energy eased slightly over the course of the month, was offset by a decline in food prices. In terms of the outlook, low base effects of oil prices should start to unwind from March. Germany's VAT rate cut comes to an end next month, but underlying price pressures certainly remain very weak. Beyond the seasonal and technical factors, if you look at inflation expectations, likely to remain subdued due to weakness in labour markets and household disposable income. We think Eurozone inflation will average just 0.4% this year, of course well below that 2% target, keeping pressure on policymakers to maintain an accommodative stance even if activity picks up as the vaccine allows activity to normalise.
Right, US non-farm payroll numbers out today. The figures haven't been published yet, but it doesn't look that good, does it?
No, I don't think so. Economic momentum in the US, of course, has slowed in recent weeks as tighter restrictions has impeded activity, particularly in the all-important service sector. What to expect? We think payrolls declined by 50,000. That would bring an end to the seventh consecutive months of employment gains that have totaled 12.3 million. Look for the unemployment rate to rise by 0.1% to 6.8%. Average hourly earnings to rise by 0.2% month on month. 2021, I think, will be a year of recovery for the US economy as consumer spending rebounds. Activity is supported by the overwhelming monetary and increased fiscal support. Result is that companies are likely to be rehiring workers. So we think the unemployment rate will continue to fall during the course of this year. In fact, finishing at 5%, that compares to the pandemic peak of 14.7% in April, but still higher than the 3.5%, of course, pre-pandemic rate.
Yeah, a lot of people are still struggling to come to terms with the fact that the markets are all at record highs. I mean, we're in a pretty desperate situation. I know stock markets look into the future, but is it truly reflective of the world we're living in at the moment?
Well, it's an optimistic view of the world that we're living in at the moment. The belief is, of course, that the virus will be arrested by the rollout of the vaccine, that activity will rebound, and that, of course, these very accommodative stance by policymakers, the aggressive fiscal packages, the ultra-low interest rates, and ramped up with a healthy dose of quantitative easing will create a backdrop that will see a strong recovery during the course of this year, we expect global growth of around 5.5%. So that is, I think, reflected in the markets. But it's partly reflecting, of course, that interest rates will remain much lower for longer than people have been anticipating. So where do you put your money to generate a return? Increasingly, that means, of course, equity markets, because you're certainly not getting much from fixed income.
Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, Bitcoin is the other alternative. Bitcoin's at $38,000, something around that this morning. I think it broke through the $1 trillion mark, actually, yesterday. To the value, if you can put it in those very loose terms when it comes to cryptocurrencies, but the value of the Bitcoin in circulation apparently hitting the $1 trillion mark, which sounds quite incredible, doesn't
it? Yeah, I don't know about a new set of teeth. I think Craig's going to start buying up property in Monaco at this rate.
I don't know if Craig really is that linked into the cryptocurrency space, but he has been talking about it in the past, of course.
So the virus will be arrested?
Well, you know, to a certain extent. But
maybe I can share a cell with Donald Trump.
We'll have to wait and see. And there's, I saw how long it lasts, this vaccine, is the other question, isn't it? Because I think one of the drugs bosses was talking yesterday, saying, well, it lasts 2 years, was actually longer than some of the other ones. So it's not something that's going to be disappearing. You know, it's not a case of one or two jabs and that's the end of the problem. This is going to be an ongoing process, and particularly mutations and various surges is something we'll perhaps have to live with for many years to come.
Talking of sharing a cell, see, Boeing's had its collar felt by the US Justice Department.
Truly has. Boeing will pay more than $2.5 billion in fines and compensation, $500 million set aside for crash victim fund, $1.8 billion compensation for the airlines. This after reaching, as you say, a settlement with the US Department of Justice over two plane crashes that killed 346 people, led to the grounding of its 737 MAX jetliner. Settlement means Boeing will avoid prosecution over fraud conspiracy charges related to the plane's flawed design. Boeing had already set aside $1.8 billion, will take another $734 million charge against fourth quarter earnings. 737 MAX, to remind you, was grounded back in March 2019, not lifted actually until November 2020. The grounding of the planes, the investigation and the fixes to rectify those design flaws are estimated to have cost Boeing something close to $20 billion.
And Elon Musk, come on down.
The world's richest man, isn't he? I can't remember the figure. I did see a headline. Is that $185 billion? Is that the number?
That's it, yeah.
About?
Give or take a billion or two each way.
That's good, isn't it? So, the value of Tesla continues to rise quite dramatically. Real question mark, of course, as to whether it deserves that valuation. It's obviously become a very valuable car company, but you can't really consider it in the simple framework of a car manufacturer. You've got to believe it's a revolutionizing technology company to be worth that sort of levels. And we'll find out whether it deserves such lofty expectations.
And he said he's going to spend half his money on helping problems on Earth and the other half on establishing a self-sustaining city on Mars to ensure continuation of life of all species.
Well, I mean, you have to admire in some ways that thought, isn't it? I mean, when you realise that you're bigger than the planet that you're operating on at the moment and need to find a new space, it does show you that that entrepreneurial spirit is running pretty high.
I think Sarah might volunteer a dog to go into Mars with Elon Musk.
Really?
He did
Shaving
a whoopsie
problems?
On the neighbour's carpet the other day.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like that.
Okay,
I mean, you two are not great neighbours, are you, when you think about it?
Why? What have I done?
Well, you know, you're very loud and a bit, you know, aggressive with your thoughts on how the neighbourhood should be run, and Sarah's basically antisocial.
That's not very nice.
I think that sums it up quite well.
All right, foreign exchanges.
Pound against the pound against dollar 135.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.22. Going to get 1 euro 10.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
So another weekend of lockdown coming up. What have you got planned? Bit of golf on the TV. I think there's some golf going on in Hawaii, isn't there? Yeah.
I'm so bored of it. Yeah. It's walking in the woods with the children, we're allowed to do, I think, one element of exercise, so we'll try and do that. And hunker down, as always.
Yeah, you won't be able to drink, because you've been told to get off the bottle, haven't you? So.
dry January, of course. Gave up on that about 3 days ago.
Right, thank you very much.
Have a good weekend.
Speak to you on Monday. Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
French Prime Minister Jean Castex has announced that all public venues currently closed would remain so until at least the 20th of January. He also said the border with Britain will remain closed until further notice in a bid to combat the new strain of COVID-19. Two clusters of the new strain have been detected in France. The clusters were located in Brittany and in the Paris region. Speaking on Thursday evening, as expected, Castex announced that all facilities currently closed in France will remain closed and that the situation for theatres, gyms and ski stations will be reviewed on January the 20th, adding that bars and restaurants cannot expect to open before mid-February. The French government has decided, however, to keep schools open for the foreseeable future. Health Minister Olivier Véran said that the vaccine campaign had been simplified with the aim of having a million people vaccinated by the end of January. According to the latest figures, just over 15,000 cases of COVID are currently being detected daily in France and 25,000 people are currently in hospital with the virus. Meanwhile, 40 new cases of COVID have been identified here in the Principality. The total number of residents affected to date stands at 1,018. 26 people are in hospital and 149 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Doctors in Nice and Cannes have said that after receiving doses of the vaccine against COVID, several errors have been noted, namely the fact that the needles are too short and the protocol is incomplete. Head of the pharmacy division, Remy Colomb, confirmed on French radio on Thursday that some syringes delivered by Public Health France are indeed too short to administer the vaccination, and several hospitals supporting the GHT, such as the Nice University Hospital, have been delivered with this type of syringe. The Mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has given an update on the coronavirus vaccination campaign during a press conference on Thursday. From Thursday, the city's vaccination centre at Rue Hancy is receiving people by appointment. From Monday, vaccination centres will be opening at the Palais des Expositions, the Nicaillat and the Théâtre de Verdure. The mayor said that in about 10 days, they will start the campaign for people over 75 years old, excluding nursing homes and hospitals. Meanwhile, a vaccination centre is opening on Saturday at the Palais de Festival in Cannes. The mayor of Cannes, David Lisnard, has said that the centre is indispensable to effectively fight the virus, implement a mass vaccination campaign and offer all those who want to be vaccinated a suitable and secure centre. The president of the Île-de-France region, Valérie Pécresse, has called for the French Prime Minister to get vaccinated in front of the cameras, saying that it's his duty to do so. Speaking to French media, the elected official said that politicians must be vaccinated to show the safety of the vaccine, to restore confidence, and they must be vaccinated publicly. To encourage the French to be vaccinated against COVID-19, doctors have been vaccinated in public in recent days, and several artists are also committing to the vaccination campaign in an appeal to the public. Financial organisations in France have asked business leaders to allow more flexibility in the repayment of the state-guaranteed loans, the PGE. The loan, which was set up to help companies get through the health crisis less than a year ago, has seen nearly 25,000 companies in the Bouches-du-Rhône benefit from it. But since January the 4th, financial organisations have resumed contact with business leaders about the terms of repayment of the loan, with some wanting more flexibility. France's electricity transmission network, the RTE, has asked the French to reduce their electricity consumption, with temperatures promising to be particularly cold across the country today. The network invites people to reduce their electricity consumption in order to avoid any power cut. In some places, temperatures are expected to be between -4 and -5 degrees. Finally, the bastion of the citadel of Villefranche-sur-Mer in the Alpes-Maritimes has been allocated €300,000 from the Loto du Patrimoine 2020 in aid for renovation work. The monument is one of 18 classified as a priority and had been presented at the end of June by the Heritage Foundation. The monument is part of the famous citadel of Villefranche-sur-Mer, facing the harbour, and it dates from the 16th century. Between the end of the 17th century and 1870, the structure did not undergo any major transformation. The Citadel, which became French, was listed in 1861. Today, the amount of allocations dedicated to each renovation project has been revealed, with €300,000 allocated to the historical site of the Alpes Maritimes.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, there are increasing concerns that elite sport may not be able to continue in England owing to increasing numbers of coronavirus cases. There were more than 62,000 new cases of the virus detected in the country on Thursday, and increasing numbers of footballers have been testing positive. Some FA Cup third round ties have been called off, and a number of teams will be fielding young and inexperienced players as top stars go down with the virus. Two ties tonight, Aston Villa against Liverpool and Wolves against Crystal Palace. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello from Colm Harrison at the BBC Sports Centre. Friday's FA Cup third round tie between Aston Villa and Liverpool is in doubt because of coronavirus. Villa say they've had a significant outbreak of COVID-19 at the club, and that's led to the closure of their training ground. Meanwhile, Southampton's FA Cup tie against third-tier side Shrewsbury Town on Sunday has already been postponed because a number of Shrewsbury's players and staff have tested positive for coronavirus. Fulham's head coach Scott Parker says he's disappointed with striker Alexander Mitrovic, who broke COVID restrictions over the festive period. Mitrovic was pictured with the Crystal Palace captain and his Serbia international teammate Luka Milivojevic on New Year's Eve. The Palace manager Roy Hodgson says he's made it clear to his players that no further breaches of government guidelines will be accepted.
Oh, I think the consequences will be harsher. There's no doubt about that. You know, there's lots of suggestions being put forward as to what the consequences are going to be, and I don't think it's appropriate at this moment in time to start looking into a crystal ball and even discussing those.
Finally, Mesut Ozil's future could be decided soon. The German midfielder, who hasn't played for Arsenal since last March, has been linked with a move to various clubs, most recently the Turkish side Fenerbahce. His manager at Arsenal, Mikel Arteta, points out that Ozil is into the last 6 months of his contract at the club.
He's free to negotiate with other clubs. We will discuss internally what's the best situation for him for the near future, and obviously with the player and the agent, and try to find the best solution for everybody.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Chelsea's name's on the cup this year. Playing Morecambe.
Are they?
Bring me sunshine. Formula One, Lawrence Stroll says he sets his Aston Martin team the goal of winning the World Championship. Stroll has renamed his Racing Point team after the iconic British car brand and says his aim is to win. Four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel will race for Aston Martin next season after leaving Ferrari. Stroll bought Racing Point in 2018 after it went into administration in its former guise as Force India. He decided to rename it Aston Martin after taking over the British firm in January last year. Aston Martin last raced in Formula One in 1960. Cricket. It's day two of the third test between Australia and India in Sydney. Earlier today, Australia were dismissed for 338, which is a bit of a comeback for the tourists. At the moment, India are 85 for two midway through the afternoon session. Rugby Union, the Wales captain Alan Wynne-Jones says he's very confident he can be fit in time for the side's Six Nations opener against Ireland on the 7th of February. The 35-year-old hasn't played since the Awesome Nations Cup match against Italy on the 5th of December after picking up a knee injury. Ospreys coach Toby Booth says the Wales captain is determined to play a pass in the first Six Nations game and that he's doing everything he can to get himself ready. And there are two games in the Gallagher Premiership in England tonight. Bath play Wasps and Sale play Worcester. In the Guinness Pro 14, Glasgow play Edinburgh and Leinster play Ulster. Here's the marine weather forecast for coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Outer Maritime in the VAR. The general situation is a depression, 1,004 millibars over the Albanian coast, moving east. Our winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, cloudy, force 6 to 7, northeasterly winds, moderate to rough seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northerly, force 2-4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, cloudy, force 4-6. Northeasterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Plenty of sunshine today with light variable winds, top temperature 10 degrees, overnight lows 4 degrees on the coast, 2 degrees inland with cloudy skies. The weekend, cloudy tomorrow with a high of 11, some showers overnight into Sunday, then partially cloudy with a high of 9 degrees. Finally,
a judge in the UK has ruled that banning male staff from wearing shorts while allowing their female colleagues to wear above-ankle clothing amounts to sex discrimination. The verdict came at a tribunal brought by a boots distribution worker who was reprimanded for wearing three-quarter-length shorts on a sweltering summer day. The man protested that women working in the warehouse in Preston were permitted to wear garments of the same length and were afforded a greater degree of discretion to show their legs. Although his claim was unsuccessful because he had brought his case too late, Judge Alan Johnson ultimately ruled that he had been discriminated against.
Quite right, too. Quite right, too. There's nothing wrong with some knobbly knees in the office. Yeah? Good job we don't have those sorts of rules here, isn't it? Are you up to date? The news is on the